Okay, gentlemen, that completes our public hearings for the evening. Moving on to other business, we have three items about the business this evening. First one being subdivision number 2004-50, PGS Properties LLC, Longwood Lakes amended condition.
Mr. Chairman, just one second. Did you all need to grab the PowerPoint? Is that what you were? I didn't know. Okay. Okay, all right. Everybody was sort of pointing at it, so yeah, no problem.
You guys could have picked up a laptop. We never would have known the difference. These are honest men. That or they just have plenty of laptops.
This item was deferred at the December 19th meeting to allow Mr. Ross the opportunity to participate. This is a request to delete the condition requiring sidewalks on one side of all streets within this subdivision. This is a 72-lot subdivision which received final approval October 17th of 2007. The applicant is requesting that the condition be removed since all of the lots exceed a half acre in size. There is an abundance of open space and the project's located in a low density area. There are walking paths that are provided around both of the stormwater management ponds. This site is currently under construction and no lots have been conveyed or transferred. And we previously provided you a copy of a site plan and a letter from the applicant's engineer.
Mr. Chairman, I would thank the commission for deferring the application to allow me an opportunity to review this. I did listen to the December 19th tape, so I heard the comments made by each of you at that meeting. I also asked Mr. Abbott to give me a copy of the DelDOT letter that Mr. Davidson provided to the commission regarding the removal of the pathway or bike path or whatever out in front of the project on the roadway, and I have a copy here in my hand. In addition, I did go back to the December 5 meeting minutes, which was BM. That's not before Mike, it's before Marty, and read through those minutes, and I noticed that the applicant did proffer that walking paths are proposed on one side of all streets, but not necessarily sidewalks, and I don't know really how that got moved to sidewalks within the site plan, but it did somehow. But within the minutes of the December 05, it specifically says that walking paths are proposed, not necessarily sidewalks. I also noticed that the applicant stated in the commission eventually accepted that the design was superior to the standard subdivision prior to that proffer with the addition of only two lots via the cluster. 70 lots would have been approved as a standard subdivision. And I guess in reading the minutes, I did not listen to the tape, but in reading the minutes that conclusion was made because of the substantial preservation of open space using the cluster versus using a standard subdivision, which would make sense. I did read the superior design provisions within the ordinance, and it does appear that that was a correct decision. It does conform to all the requirements of superior design, of which sidewalks are not one of those. So I understand the concern of this continued, procession of applicants wanting to get rid of sidewalks, and I'm listening to Mr. Johnson's comments regarding that. But in this case, I'm inclined to grant the request because, again, sidewalks are not required. It appears otherwise the application still conforms to the cluster subdivision, and no lots have been sold, and so no harm, no foul. So that's where I'm at.
Does anyone else like to comment at this point?
I would, Mr. Chairman. Again, as I've stated in previous requests for removal of sidewalks, whether it's on one side or both sides, my concern continues to be that of pedestrian safety and travel. And in this particular proposal, the distance that would have to be covered by perhaps some students that would be having to travel on foot to get to the school bus. you know, we're not talking about a small subdivision of, you know, a dozen or even two dozen, but we're actually talking about potentially 72 homes. So that's where my concern comes into play. In terms of the walking trails, it looked like a couple walks around some stormwater management ponds, and that was it. So it's not one like we're seeing with Bay Forest, where they're proposing walking trails throughout the community and surrounding the units and a very extensive walking trails. Here it's like, you know, minimal at best. I still stand opposed to removing of the sidewalk and in this case. And I know we're talking about dollars and cents. You know, we're talking about, you know, some additional coverage, whatever you call it. Drawing a blank on the impervious surface. But, you know, we're not talking about that much additional. I think we talked at the last meeting about what the dollars and cents amounted to. Again, we're dealing with a project where it could be incorporated in it. I'm getting tired of engineers coming in and showing, saying that they can't do it because of the swales or whatever. Design it. So that's where I am.
All right. Anyone else like to weigh in?
I think there's a, and what the number is, I don't know, but I think there's a number that sidewalks really make sense, whether that be 100 units or 200 units or 70 units, and maybe we as a commission need to get to where that number is. But I'm inclined to agree with Mr. Ross on his reasonings for it, but I do think we should look at a number, because they do provide safety.
Yeah, gentlemen, I think it would be nice if we had some bright line guidance in this. It's been disturbing that, or distracting, that we try to do as good a job as we possibly can, and then not pinpointing just this application, but we have an engineer or an applicant that comes back 8-9 years after we've had a public hearing. We forget what was presented. We don't exactly know. And I think Mr. Ross did a great job going back and getting the minutes and, like, reminding us of what was presented there. But aside from this request, which we have to act on, thinking along the lines of Mr. Burton, it would be nice, I think, if we had some kind of bright line guidance, so it's not such, you know, is it 46 lots? Is it 72 lots? And along with Mr. Burton, my sentiments would go with Mr. Ross to, in this case, since no lots have been sold and I have visited the site, I think, with apologies to Mr. Johnson, that there could be safe movement in this one, in this development.
Well, I think as far as the determination of a cutoff point or something, this is something that developers would like to know too. These folks, the engineers and so on, look for predictability. And if there's a clear ordinance on where sidewalks should occur or need to occur or shall occur, then that's good for everyone, you know. And that is something we should appear or we should pursue. As it stands right now, we don't really have that. And ordinance isn't particularly clear on the subject, so you know, we have some work to do.
Yeah, we did, and not being argumentative, but we did act in some cases 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago on what the ordinance allowed, and then we're getting a request to take out, and that's why I say Mr. Ross, I think, did a good job indicating that on this one the applicant said just walkways, didn't spell out sidewalks, but as Mr. Johnson would note, in some of these clusters, the sidewalks and streetlights and things like that were really pushed at the public hearing.
We have to
act on these requests.
To be clear on that, I don't know. It's sort of a chicken and egg thing a little bit, you know, with the sidewalks and the streetlights and the other things. And I don't know that it necessarily started with sidewalks, but there were situations where applicants were making statements that we were going to do X, Y, and Z in an application. And it doesn't matter what the actual issue was. We would come back and see a final site plan, and X, Y, and Z wasn't there. So that evolved to the point where if an applicant made the present, and I don't mean to single out this one because I don't think it applies to this particular applicant at all, but it's just sort of more of a trend. The commission started saying, even before I was involved, that if it's going to be stated, we need to put it in the condition so that it tracks through, so that when the commission's right. looking at final right. site plan, they said it, it's in the condition, so we know it's on the final site plan. And so that's how, just using the sidewalk example, that's how that evolved. And then it went a step further that I think applicants and engineers and attorneys said, well, okay, it's showing up in these conditions. We're using these conditions as models because we know that's what the commission likes. And so it sort of started self-perpetuating itself that they were proposing it, and ended up in more conditions, and that's what we were having. You know, and the commission does have the ability to put conditions on subdivisions. I mean, you know, you can do that. But that's a little bit how it evolved. It wasn't like we were mandating sidewalks. It was an evolution of a couple of different factors. So,
and as Mr. Johnson would say, too, I think, you know, we've read the letters where they're saying, you know, it can't be designed because it's – can't put a sidewalk in because it's going to interfere with wastewater and things like that. Speaking for myself, those letters aren't cutting it quite so much anymore.
It'd be nice if they were curb and gutter, and then you could, you know, then you have a safety feature. But when you have a sidewalk, which is basically at grade, it gives you a nice place to walk.
But from a safety position,
there's just no safety added to it.
And part of the issue with that is that a lot of these regulations are being driven by other agencies, and there's a real preference for accomplishing drainage with the least amount of structure that you can. That's why you're seeing a lot of open swales and so on. It's not only a cost-saving issue for the developer, it's also the way these agencies want these things done. They're not real excited about a lot of structure, a lot of pipe and, you know.
Well, HOAs aren't real excited about it either.
They would rather see it done, you know, with in a way that is disturbs the land the least, for lack of a better way to say it. So it isn't just a cost item. I mean, it's also driven by, you know, design requirements and preferences from other places too. So,
Mr. Chairman, to move along, I'm going to make a motion that we approve the request for the amended condition for subdivision number 204-50 for PGS Properties LLC.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to recommend the approval of the amended condition for subdivision 2004-50 PGS Properties LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The record shows the motion carried 4-1. Our next item.